This is Classic Rain number 6 for October 11th, 2019. I'm Will Rogers, K5WLR. One of the resources Hap Holly, KC9RP, drew upon in his early years of producing audio ham radio programming was Bill Pasternak, WA6ITF, co-founder and driving force behind Westlink Radio, known today as the Amateur Radio Newsline. One of Bill's interviews Hap most cherished was a short 1989 interview with former Senator Barry Goldwater, K7UGA, conducted by national science reporter and familiar voice on the amateur radio newsline in the 90s, Roy Neal, K6DUE.
This is Roy Neal, K6DUE in Scottsdale, Arizona, at the home of Barry Goldwater, high atop a windy hill, a place of great natural beauty, and it's a dream location for ham radio. A lifelong passion of the former senator and Air Force general. K7UGA is his call, and in the world of ham radio, we call him Barry. If we don't go no code, do you think we can hold on to our present frequencies?
Can they hold on to it with the numbers we have? My answer would be very doubtful. Can you hold on to it with a couple hundred thousand young amateurs? Yes, because they all vote. They can all communicate with the Congress. They can tell them, look, we don't want you taking these frequencies away from us. And I'll tell you, as former chairman of the Communications Subcommittee, I practically never heard from a ham.
Barry, what influence, if any, do you think the amateur fraternity can have on politicians?
You'll find among the 535 members of our Congress right now, not one amateur operator. Now, there are some that are interested because they have friends and constituents that are interested in saving a frequency. And they've had a lot of mail on it, but they don't know what the hell they're talking about.
Barry, what is your position on no code?
I hate to say this to you, because I'm one of those sort of old-fashioned hams that really love the code. But we are not getting new amateurs. So we do away with a code requirement, and we bring a lot of new young men into the business of amateurs and also into the business of bettering the new communication systems.
You're proposing a no-code license?
I frankly would put more emphasis on the technical questions. Forget about the code. Nobody's going to use it. Now, there used to be a pretty good argument for learning code, because we'd say, well, it'll come in handy if you ever become a member of the armed service. No more. There's no requirement for it. All the forces have dropped it. As I say, everything new is digital, computerized, and there's darn few things you can't do with a computer and equipment.
How would you propose that we get into the business of no code?
Well, the business is rather simple. You first would have to get the ARRL, the American Radio Relay League, behind it. You'd have to get these magazine editors, who I think are inclining that way. You got to remember one thing. You have more amateurs, you're going to sell more equipment. But the easiest way is to convince the American Radio Relay League that opposition or no opposition, if they want to increase the amateur ranks, they have to do away with the number one objection, code. I know a lot of people will be shocked to hear an old-timer like me say that. We're not going to do away with code. I want to sit down here and wobble the key. I'll do that forever. But it isn't going to be with some young kid that wants to become an amateur.
Let's put that in practice. How would it really work?
Schools come up here, young people come up here to watch radio communications, and they're all thrilled. But then you say, now you're going to have to learn Morse code. They think it's impossible. And you know, and I know, it's not. But that's their attitude. And they don't want any part of Morse code. Even if God stuck a pin in their head and said, you can now work Morse, they wouldn't want it. They're enthralled by the new communications, Baudo, the high-speed digital frequencies, all the different things that we have today. I'd hate like the devil to start over again and have to learn. I'd rather learn the Morse code over again. So we'll make more advancement with young people fiddling around with their soldering irons and a good book and a box full of junk than by teaching them Morse code when nobody much talks in Morse code anymore.
Would it be fair to say the day of the Morse operator is gone?
Well, I'll make a prophecy, and I won't be alive to ever see it come true. If we continue to require a knowledge of code for a license, people are going to just plain die. I'm 80. I'm not going to be around here forever. But when I'm gone, that's one less guy that knows the code. So what the hell's the difference? I don't want to see amateur radio die out because, as I've said, 98% of all the improvements made in radio have come out of an amateur shack. I want to see that encouraged. As I say, I think we can swell our ranks by at least 200,000 if we just allow young amateurs or would-be amateurs to come in as a licensed amateur without having gone through the, I don't call it painful, but through the process of learning Morse code.
We've been talking to K7UGA, Barry Goldwater, one of the true pioneers of amateur radio. His contribution to the service is legendary. Now, today in the 1980s, Barry Goldwater believes deeply that the time has come to eliminate one of the main staples of amateur radio licensing procedure, Morse code. He pleads the case with fellow hams that new blood, young hams, are needed to carry on the tradition and to carry the service into the future. And Senator Goldwater, K7UGA, says unequivocally that the time has come for the amateur fraternity to debate the issues of no code and then take action as they deem fit. And now for Barry Goldwater, K7UGA, this is Roy Neal, K6DUE in Scottsdale, Arizona, 73.
A number of the voices that became familiar to our Rain Report listeners in the 90s were introduced to our listenership of the Bear Information Service, BIS, in suburban Chicago in the late 80s. One of those familiar voices was Blair Alper, KA9SEQ, an Iowa ham whose ham roots were as the trustee for the so-called LIDFAR 220 repeater in the Chicago suburb of Oak Park before he relocated to Iowa in the 90s. We'll bring you his guest commentary after this station ID. This is Classic Rain No. 6, produced by Rain founder Hap Holly, KC9RP. I'm Will Rogers, K5WLR. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Classic Rain from www.therainreport.com.
This editorial is the result of an event that happened this summer. We were driving down an isolated section of Pennsylvania Route 6 on our way back to our cottage when we witnessed an accident. We were quite close to becoming the third car in the pileup, in fact. There were no other cars on the road and nothing around. I got out, and while my mother checked the injuries, I pulled out my trusty HT. It was already tuned to the local repeater, which is on top of West Mountain at 2,200 feet. Yes, you heard me right. This little 18-watt repeater has 50-mile handheld coverage. I got on the repeater and announced that I was at the scene of a multi-car accident with injuries and a fire. Nothing. I knew that the machine had an open auto patch, so I called the police directly. By the way, contrary to popular belief, an open auto patch is one whose bring-up code is asterisk and kill is pound sign, and the repeater users will be happy to tell you so, even on the air. After the call, I had trouble dumping the patch. The repeater uses a 567 tone decoder, and it was a hot day up on the mountain. Someone showed up and dumped it for me without even bothering to ID. I said, thanks, whoever you are, and put the radio away. This whole thing got me thinking, hey, these people don't think the way I do. I started asking some questions. These smaller town hams seem to look at us in the city for the most part the way we look at the hams in California and laugh. They are suspicious and say things like, look what they have done now. When I mentioned novice enhancement, I was jumped all over and told, we don't understand that one. Exactly what were you people trying to do? Implying that it was a plot we had cooked up for them. All we have noticed is that it has brought a bunch of lids to the local 220 machine who know nothing about repeaters. What did you do about it? I asked. The reply was, we took the machine off the air. I thought they were kidding. So I pulled out my 220 HT, and sure enough, the machine was gone. I was also in New York and Washington, D.C. this summer, and in both cases found novice classes and novice-oriented repeaters and crosslinks. The cities, at least the ones I visited, seem to have accepted the responsibility to teach new operators. I found more or less the same things I find in Chicago, only the names of the organizations were changed. While I heard some talk of crosslinks on the Pennsylvania machine, it was more of an ego box type of discussion. They didn't seem to be in touch with what was really going on, so I dug deeper. Where can I hear this week's Westlink? I asked. The answer was, what's that? Well, after that, it came as no surprise to me that none of them had ever heard of the Bear Information Service, even though it's available on 10 and 40 meters, and I know they all have low-band rigs. Then I got on 220. It took some scanning, but I finally found the secret simplex channel where the locals were hiding from novices. Hey, any of you guys get 220 notes? No? Why not? Aren't you interested in what novice handset is really all about? What about 8714, I asked. No one batted an eye. Either they didn't know what I was talking about or didn't care. I was afraid to ask which. I would assume that they buy the ham magazines, but I could not honestly say that I believe they read them. For the most part, everyone seems to know everything they needed to know about ham radio. I think what hit me the most is that everyone seems to know something different. It wouldn't be so bad if they got together and attempted to iron it all out, but as most of them are low-benders, their signals go right over the heads of their local friends and neighbors, ending up in California. Ever notice how all low-band signals end up in California? Can you talk to a guy across town on 40 meters? I'm not even sure. At this point, I should say that I have nothing against small towns with one or two major repeaters where all the guys know each other. The same thing can be found in downstate Illinois, by the way. My intention is in presenting this is to show another popular view, one which we in the big city don't get to see very often. When a big issue comes up, we tend to deal with it quickly or at least grumble about it right away. If things are going to get better in ham radio, I suggest that it is these people you have to influence. For the record, I am for novice enhancement, but I don't think that making the license better is the answer. Have you noticed that you don't have a very hard time getting interested friends involved with the hobby once they understand what it's all about? Let's face it, if everyone knew about ham radio, they wouldn't stop you on the street with your HT and ask either, are you a cop? Or is that a CB? Have you ever been asked anything else? Those are the two I hear most often. I always ask, have you ever heard of amateur radio? And when they say no, and they almost always do, I say, well, have you heard of shortwave and a guy wearing headphones talking around the world by voice or using a key to send Morse code? They almost always say yes to that one. I say, well, this is the 80s version. Then I tell them it's easy to get involved if they are interested. Remember Elmering? That's how I got my license, and I still maintain it's about the most exciting way to get into this hobby. I only wish I'd done it sooner. If we are going to survive, we don't need tons of new hams. What we need is some 80s PR to go with our 80s HTs. This has been a guest editorial by Blair, K9SEQ, for the Bear Information Service.
An early guest commentary filed for Hap Holly, KC9RP's Bear Information Service, in 1989 by Blair Alper, KA9SEQ, a voice who would become familiar to listeners of the Rain Report in the 90s. And that does it for Classic Rain No. 6, a biweekly production of the Radio Amateur Information Network. Copyright from the First Ice Age or 1989-2019 Rain, all rights reserved. We'll be back with episode number 7, October 25th. I'm Will Rogers, K5WLR, bidding you very 73 from the Radio Amateur Information Network. Keep on hamming.